And we had an amazing time, like JP already shared last week at our yearly convergence meeting. I'll have to have a coffee with you to give you more detail, and maybe we can give you the DVDs later on and show that to you later on. But it was just a time in God's presence that I cannot stop talking about, day upon day and meeting upon meeting and upon meeting, and we had meetings, and after that we just continued. We were just blessed with God's presence, and we had so many encounters, and it led me to share with you this morning maybe about how we respond to the God encounters in our lives, when we encounter God in different levels. And but before we go there, I just quickly want to tell you a story about a friend of mine. Actually was a member in our church at that given back then in London when we were still there for a few years. We met this guy who actually became part of the church, whose name is Met, and he was a Turkish guy. So he came from a Muslim background, and then he got saved, or he got converted, or however you want to phrase that. But the thing is, Metin came into this Christian community with no baggage, he had his own cultural baggage, but he didn't have all this Christian jargon and stuff that we had. Even as I was sharing with you, getting saved. What's that? God gave, you know what, we have so many terms and terminology, and anyway, that's a discussion for other day. And we bring those stuff with us, and so he came into this community where we as believers fellowship, and we have cell groups and church services and all of those kind of things. And he's just observing what we are doing because he wanted to be accepted, you know. So what happened one Sunday, and we had cell group after that, so he told me this story, and actually I saw that as well happening. But the pastor called people to the front and praying for them. Now back then, I remember at that stage, often, and you would probably saw that in your life as well, the pastor prayed for people, and then they just fell over under the power of the Holy Spirit. So they were lying there. So Metin came to the front as well when he heard the altar call. He thought, you know what? I want the prayer as well. I want to respond to God's call. So this is him telling me the story afterwards, the week after that, as we have cell group. He told me. He says, Yaku, you know what happened? I just sense God is calling me. I need to go to the front, and I want to be prayed for. So I went to the front. And then I looked at the other people, and I saw they fell over, and I was standing there, and the pastor prays for me, and then I fell, and he fell over as well. So I thought, I'm just so weak, and he fell over, and Metin says, and Yaku, then I noticed, I timed them, they lie about 3 to 4 minutes on the ground before they get up. So I thought I'll do the same. So after 4 minutes. I got up as well. But then it just continued on. Because somewhere he saw, the raising of hands and all these things that we do, and there's biblical reference for that. He saw all of that, and he wanted to be part of this group, so he's just going to join it. And now the pastor was standing, as I was standing here in the front, he said, let's just continue with the service, leave the people here in the front, God is busy with them, they can get up in their own time, and they take a seat. So he was starting to minister. Metin was lying there, and then he got up, But instead of getting up and going and sitting in his seat, he got up and he stepped backwards while the pastor was standing there. He raised his hand, and then he just stood there at the back there, just looking at the audience. Imagine that. While the pastor is preaching, he's behind him, just standing there. And he doesn't know why he need to do that, but the rest of them, they're lifting their hands and they're standing like that. Maybe I should do that as well, See, he picked up something in our mannerisms and the way we do things, And here's the thing, all of us sitting here this morning has got some or another way, culture that influenced you. Your previous church, or maybe where you grew up, we have certain habits, we've got certain things that we do, especially in this service, because we're sometimes from different ends, And it's beautiful. And it's not for me to say it's wrong or right. Sometimes I've found that you get on the one end all those people that they go into the, how should I classify that? In the group of Lot's wife, No impression, just standing there. The story about Lot's wife? She became a pillar of salt. Now we get them in church as well. No impression, don't raise my hand. I'm not showing any affection or any impression. I'm like there. You can give Lot's wife a go, man. Anyway, but then in the other end, You get those that you need to keep your safe space around them. They got their flag. And you think, anytime now would be good just to give them space. It's not right or wrong. I just think we are affected by culture. We bring that with us into serving God. And we think that is the norm and that's the way it's supposed to be. But if it works for you, just make sure that the main ingredient keeps the main ingredient. They had a discussion the other day. Not the other day, I've been told the story, but the guys took the story of Joseph and they gave the same story to some Western theologians and they gave it to the African theologians and said, okay, tell us what's the crux of the story. Tell us what's the main thing about the story. And they studied the story and then the Western theologians came back and they said, well, what we came to the conclusion is that no matter what happens to you, if you keep the right attitude, God will always come through for you. Then they went over to the African theologians, and they came to the conclusion that no matter what happens to you, never forget your extended family. Huh? You're laughing. I just thought that was so beautiful. Huh? Not right or wrong. It just shows us the variety. It just shows us that there's room for all of us. But here's the thing. We respond to God encounters differently, but there are certain things that's supposed to be instrumental and central to all of them. And I couldn't get past the first hurdle this morning, so I'm really trusting God that I can get past the first hurdle. I just sensed in the first service that God wanted us to stop there for a moment and just intercede, and we're going to pray in a minute for that for a moment. There's three things, and I'm going to give you the outline this morning beforehand. There's a part where we have to look at before we encounter God. How do we relate? What is important before we encounter God? What's important during our encounter with God? And what's important after our encounter with God? Okay? And what I wanted to say is that, before we encounter God, it's revealed in our hunger. Our hunger reveals whether we really want to encounter God. I'll come back to that one in a moment. During our encounter with God, is revealed in our image of God, and then our obedience is reflected afterwards, after we encountered God. But here's the thing, and I'll just share a stat or two with you, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to trust the Lord so that we can continue with this. Let's talk about that word hunger. I was lately just being touched by how many of us, and here's the thing, how many of us would be here this morning and possibly not be present? Or some of us, and I'm not bringing condemnation, I don't want to bring that across, please hear my heart this morning, that we are content to be out there doing something else today. As a pastor, I notice that sometimes our church grows in numbers, people are being added, but our attendance doesn't necessarily go up. And then you start asking yourself questions. You ask yourself, Lord, what's wrong? Are we missing somewhere? Am we missing something here? Thank God there are other believers, other people around us to help us interpret these things, Lately, in America, they've made a study keeping all these stats, and they came to the conclusion, or they had to lower the bar, for somebody to be seen as a regular church attender, it's somebody that attends church twice a month. Okay, now I'm not saying hear my heart here this morning. We're going somewhere here. They had to lower the bar to 2 in order for the church stats to see yourself as a regular church attendant. When we were just in Cape Town now, we were having all our meetings, yearly meetings, and we have all our stats, and we look at different things. We didn't spend a lot of time on stats, but the little bit that we spent, about an hour on that, was interesting. What seemed to be something that's happening here is not just something that's happening in America, it's also happening in our church in general. Because I would wonder and I would reason with God and say, God, am I unreasonable? Have I got unrealistic expectations here? What am I trying? I'm trying to interpret this. Do we as Namibians just camp more? Have we got more sport? What's the reason that we don't see that? And then when we looked at our stats, the same thing happened there as well. Our people do not leave church necessarily. They just come to church less. They're still there. I'm still part. If you ask person right now, are you part of this church or whichever church? And I bet you it's the same in other churches. We have these meetings with other pastors. Well, I still belong to that church. But here's the thing. I'll throw this question out there. What if you, this morning, when you woke up, and we changed the terminology. What if you, this morning, when you got up, and you thought for yourself, I'm not going to church this morning. I'm going to meet with God. Would that have changed anything in how you came, how regularly you come, and how you leave, and what happens here? I think sometimes we go to church, and we couldn't get past that in the first service, where we just had to stand still at that place. Sometimes we come to listen to something great for all of it, but we go to church. If we change our perception, say, Lord, I'm coming to you, would that change the way you prepare yourself, or I prepare myself, how often I would go? I tell you what, this last week or so, we've just been in so many encounters with the Lord. And I was just blessed upon blessed upon blessed upon blessed. You know, you're like, God, this can't be better. This is your presence is just amazing, and you just continue to speak to us. But if we come with a different expectation, in other words, our hunger looks differently, can I just propose to you that you might receive something else? Church might look different that day when we just tweak a little bit. You know, and I'm lately at that place where, and I have to push through here now, that my prayer is, God, I'm not hungry enough for you. I don't think I'm nearly touching what you want to give me. There's so much more that you want to give me. So here's the thing I want us to do for a moment. Just for a moment where you are, just to close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you. Ask him just where you are. And it's a moment between you and him. You're not going to share this answer with me or any person next to you. It's just a moment of honesty between you and him. Is he, asking that question, if he's satisfied with your level of hunger for him? Just where you are. This is not to bring condemnation. In actual fact, this is an invitation. That's what I've found. It's an invitation to come deeper, to swim deeper, to climb up higher. Thank you, Jesus, right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your voice that's speaking to every heart right now, Lord. We thank you for your invitation that's going out, Lord, to come up higher, to grow deeper, to swim further. And Father, I thank you. This is not condemnation we want to impart this morning. It's just the invitation that you're extending to each and every one of us this morning. Father, I pray this morning where we came to church this morning, I pray, Lord, that we'll change that mindset, that we would realize, Lord, we come to you. Where church has become mundane and boring and lifeless, Lord, and we're just coming to go through the routine, Lord. We want to break that over ourselves, Lord. And we want to come to you and say, Lord Jesus, every moment, every time we come together as brothers and sisters, whether it's here on a Sunday morning, whether it's during the week, Lord, may we always see that as a meeting with you, not necessarily just with one another, Lord. Not just church, not just cell group, whatever meeting it might be. But it's a moment and a possibility that we are about to be touch the hem of your garment, Lord. Where we enter into your presence, where we hear your words speaking to us, Lord. Your voice speaking to us, Lord. Your words saturate us, Lord. Your words that are able this morning to settle every storm inside of us this morning. Your words that are able this morning to give direction to us. Thank you, Jesus. Just for a moment before we continue the service, I want you just where you are, maybe just with the person next to you, just commit that to the Lord. Maybe if you feel, you know what, I want to pray and stand in the gap for your family, stand in the gap for your colleagues, for this church, for the churches in Swakopmund, for our country. Let's just bring our spiritual appetite to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, We're not hungry, and I don't want to force you. I want you to pray that from your heart. If you feel convinced to pray with me this morning, say, Lord Jesus, we pray that our people will cry out for you, that we'll become hungry again for you as a nation. Because that unlocks the door to so many other things. Then we become desperate for God. Let's just stand in agreement for a moment, and then we're going to continue with the service. Father, we thank you for who you are this morning, Lord. Father, that you are the more than enough. You are the I am. Lord Jesus, that in you and through you all things were created, and that, Lord, that you want to bestow the fullness of you upon us, Lord, that you want to reveal more of you to us. And Father, where we've settled for less this morning, Father, we repent of that. We repent, Father, of an appetite, Lord, that we've developed, Lord, that is not pleasing unto you, Lord. But Father, at the same time, we hear your voice come up higher, and we wanna respond to that. And I pray this morning for everyone that's crying out this morning, Lord, and say, Lord, I want to. But Father, for where we sometimes feel, Lord, that we fall short, we thank you for your grace, for a fresh amount of your grace upon every person this morning that say, Lord Jesus, I want to swim deeper with you. I'm willing to go that extra step. I'm willing to go that extra mile. Father, we thank you for that grace that will take us there, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to reveal yourself, Lord, to each and everyone here. We thank you, Father, that you continue to show us more of yourself so that we can grow into a place of maturity, Father, and become more and more like you, Lord Jesus. That when others look at us, the only thing they will see is Jesus, that we reflect you in everything we do, say, and where we go. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mark. Herky, lost Dennis. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. If you got your Bibles, get it out at Exodus 24. If you got your cell phones, take that out. And for those of you who got your phones and your cell phones and whatever, we've got it. We've got a backup there at the back. Okay. And anyway, it's a story. It's a long scripture, so I'm going to try and be quick. Okay. I know you always joke about myself. It's a bad joke I have. I always say to people, I just don't tell the joke too often, but I'll be as quick as Liz Taylor said to her husband. I won't keep you for long. But and then we'll say, like Moses said to the Pharaoh, let my people go. And then you can go at 12 or at 1. But anyway, let's get into the word. Exodus 24, it's the story of Moses that's getting up onto the mountain, about to meet God. You can read the preparation for that. It happens in Exodus 19 up to 24. God informs Moses, I'm coming. I'm about to give you the law. And prepare yourselves, wash your clothes. I almost want to say comb your hair. My little one says we were away, and she doesn't like washing her hair, you know, and she's always crying when we have to wash the hair. And yesterday we smelled. It's you. And said, it's time that you wash your hair. Anyway, so she was very eager to do that last night. She doesn't want to smell like that. But anyway, God said, prepare yourself, because there's a preparation period that's taking place. And purely for this reason, because God is holy. It's not because you are dirty, and it's God is holy. And in order to protect us, God needs to give us certain instructions. That's why before we encounter God, certain things are important. Whether you fall over or not, that's not the point here this morning. Whether you wave the flag or not, that's not the point. There are certain other things. So let's just quickly scan through that or read through that. Exodus 24. Then the Lord instructed Moses, "Come up here to me and bring along Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders. All of you must worship from a distance." What a beautiful invitation, eh? Listen to this. Come up here. And I hear the Lord's Spirit continuing, "Come up here, come up here." You know how many times in my life I've heard that, "Come up here," and I'm not willing to go there, just purely for many other reasons. You know, but anyway, but you must worship from a distance, and that's for a reason there. Only Moses is allowed to come near to the Lord. Only Moses. The others must not come near, and none of the other people are allowed to climb up to the mountain with him. Okay, if you have any insecurity, thanks for that, Lord. Why am I not allowed into this group? Why am I not allowed to climb up higher? Is it because Moses is the leader? We'll come back to that. Okay. Then Moses went down to the people and repeated all the instructions and regulations the Lord had given him. All the people answered with one voice. Listen to this. "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." Take note of that. We will do everything that the Lord has commanded after Moses just reiterated the words of God. Then Moses carefully wrote down all the Lord's instructions. Early the next morning, Moses got up and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. I'm sorry, I'm running through the scripture because I want to get to so much stuff and I don't have enough time this morning. So I'm going to condense it. He also set up 12 pillars, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent some of the young Israelite men to present burnt offerings and to sacrifice bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Bri is scriptural, so remember that afterwards when you come to the... Okay, Moses drained half the blood from these animals into basins. The other half he splattered against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it aloud to the people. Again, they all responded, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded. We will obey." Okay, take note. Then Moses took the blood from the basins and splattered it over the people. Sure, man. Imagine we had church today and I took a lot of blood. Anyway, it just came to my mind now. Anyway. Okay, let's focus here. Okay. Then Moses took the blood from the basins and splattered it over the people, declaring, "Look, this blood confirms the covenant of the Lord has made with you in giving you these instructions." Then Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel climbed up the mountain. There they saw the God of Israel, abseiling, eh? We went up to the mountain. Under his feet there seemed to be a surface of brilliant blue lapis lazuli, as clear as the sky itself. Beautiful picture of God. And though these nobles of Israel gazed upon God, he did not destroy them. In fact, they ate a covenant meal, eating and drinking in his presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain. Stay here." God gives him specific instructions. "Stay here and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I have inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people." So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, "Stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them." Then Moses climbed up the mountain and the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. Then Moses disappeared into the cloud as he climbed higher up the mountain. He remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So Moses climbs up. Moses is away. Where's Moses? He's with God. Anyway, let's get on. Stop my humor this morning. Get serious. I want us to look at that first scripture. God is very specific in calling certain people up that mountain. Okay? So it's not because your surname was your specific surname or you looked a specific way. I think there's a bigger reason why God's called specific people. And in order for us to understand that, there's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9. I don't know if I've got it up there. Maybe I don't have it up there. But it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro." If you just jump to the next slide, maybe. Yeah. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal unto him," or to him. Just imagine that scripture for a moment. Just for a moment, meditate upon that scripture. Through the whole earth, the eyes of the Lord are running through right now to show himself strong not to anyone, to those whose heart are loyal unto him. Could it be that there's something in the heart of mankind that's attractive to God, that would call them up higher, that would say, you stay there and you can climb up higher? I believe it's God's heart to send or to extend that invitation to all of us here. But God takes us in different levels up there because he's a holy God. He knows there's certain things he cannot entrust or reveal to me right now because I'm not at a good place in a way to say. That he needs to take me through certain stages as we climb up the mountain and as I actually reveal my willingness to go up higher. You see, you can never climb up higher on the mountain than your level of hunger. I want to say that again. You can never climb up higher on the mountain than your level of hunger. Your level of hunger and my level of hunger determines how I am going up the mountain. So when we get to that place, and like this morning in the first service, I just had it. I'm like, God, we cannot do church when there are 50, almost not 50, maybe not that much, but there are 50 seats open, and we just go, you know, just continue like church is normal. Let's just push through the worship. Let's just push through the sermon. But right now, I just sense God is saying, stop the bus and talk about hunger. Talk about, are you really hungry for me? And guys, I don't want to impose guilt or condemnation here this morning. It's not about you attending church or not attending church. It's just about the moments in God's presence. And it can happen in the week as well. Just want to say that. So it's not about becoming legalistic church. Are we keeping stats? And all. That's not the point. It's about the God encounters, about God that we're encountering. And when we change that mindset. So God is specific in who he's calling up. But here's the thing. What I noticed in chapters 90 to 24, and I'm going to give it to you. You can read that yourself. There's two aspects which I noticed which was so instrumental in their preparation before they met God. It's the one is the word, and the other one is their worship. Now again, irrespective of whether you raise your hands, we believe that scriptural and there's place for that. But how you worship in your heart, and we can talk about that. And I don't want to state the obvious about reading your Bible and just singing songs. But let's just look at that word part. Because remember, we were reading this. Everything that Moses said, everything about the law that Moses said, they said, we will do that. We will obey the Lord. Nevertheless, you will see in chapter, I think, 32, what happened with the golden calf. While Moses is still on the mountain. They just told God, we'll do this. We'll do everything you tell us. They just got all the instructions. The words are not even out yet. Yes, yes, Lord, count me in. You know, lately, and I'm running ahead of myself here this morning, but with our worship as well, I'm just so aware of what I'm singing. I'm just so aware of every word that I utter because we will give account of every word that we say unto God. Every empty, lazy word will stand before God, and God say, can we just, we haven't got the tape. I know, okay, so let me forward. We're not in the tape era anymore. But those tapes you got, you can remind that. But God will probably remind our life in many ways. And so can we just talk about those words and those promises and the, sorry, God. And I'm careful to speak. I'm careful realizing, Lord, what am I saying really unto you? Weighing my words. But you know what? Isaiah 66 verse 5 says this. Hear the word of the Lord, you would tremble at his word. That word, tremble. If you look at the explanation or the dictionary, what it means, it talks about a shaking involuntary, typically as a result of fear and excitement. Here's the thing, you can hear the word of God, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily trembling at the word of God. My children, you know, sometimes I ask him, don't you want to quickly go and pick that up for me? Don't you want to take that there? Yes, Daddy, I'll do it just now. And then 10 minutes later, don't you want to do that for me quickly? Yes, Daddy, I will do it just now. And half an hour later. And I'm not saying I try to impose fear into them. But that's not obedience. That's when it suits me. You know. When we tremble, it's, listen, God just spoke to me. And it's a different reverence that we have, personally, between me and God now, okay? And I'm not trying to bring fear across here. But when you realize we spoke to you just now, I think we'll sometimes be quicker to react. Or to act. Actual fact, when you look at the word worship, and the first time it occurs in the Bible in Genesis 22, when Abram goes up the mountain, Abram didn't go up there to sing a song with Isaac. Oh, Isaac, we're going to offer you and praise the Lord and all kinds of things. No. That's the first time he speaks to his servant and says, you say, yeah, we, Isaac and I, we are going up the mountain to worship the Lord. What were they doing there? They were obeying God. They were bringing or sacrificing Isaac. So the highest level of worship this morning that you and I can give God is obedience. It's obedience. It's not the singing the song. But what if it was singing a song, which is part of that? If others would just look at my life and the way I worship, what does it communicate? If I were not allowed to preach and not to say a word, but just worship, and I'm not saying faking it out there. I'm just saying sometimes it expresses or communicates something louder. My children is looking at me right now, and I'm the model to them what worship should look like. And if I don't do or do certain things, I actually impart certain things, whether I say that anything or not. They're just looking at me, and they worship the way the Father does. I see that so often. Stand at the back there one Sunday, and you see so many children will stand next to the Father, and then they will just start raising hands. They don't know what they're doing, but they're just observing. Whether you say something or not, you're imparting something. We're imparting our love for the Word to our children, to the people around. Whether you've said anything or not, you're imparting something about worship. Anyway, see, these people said, we'll do everything, but it was a mental ascent without entering into the heart, which resulted into a callousness, and there's no transformation in their lives because they built the altar just a few chapters later. Verse 16, let's jump to that quickly. Where are we? And the glory of the Lord, this is now during the time when Moses went up the mountain. They've gone through all the rituals, and now he's there on the mountain. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. Note the 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. You have to be in church on the seventh day. Anyway, no, that's not what he's saying there. What happened is God gives Moses instructions here. He says, Moses, wait upon me. And imagine that. 6 days, nothing happens. Apart from just climbing up there, experiencing a lot of things, but God is just silent. I find it difficult, or I find it that in our church, in the charismatic circle, it's hard for us to be silent. Somewhere somebody must get up and give a word, and somebody must at least just say something. I found it difficult for myself sometimes just to sit there, keep quiet. Imagine that for 6 days, and I just throw it out there. I didn't prepare it this morning. It just comes to my mind. If God had to tell me and you this morning, for the next week, just keep quiet. Sit with me for 6 days and don't say a word. Somewhere it's like, God, just help me here. Or God, can you do this for me today? Or God, can this? Or God, you're good. But God tested Moses' patience. Are you willing to get onto my clock? Are you willing to wait? Not according to your terms, just wait here. And then the seventh day Moses spoke. Actually, Matthew Henry describes it this way. Those that would have communion with God must not only come to ordinances, but they must, listen to this, abide by them. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, blessed are those that dwell, not visit in his house. Dwell in his house. There's something about waiting upon God. There's something about dwelling in his presence. That somewhere when we manage to silence ourselves and get us to a place of solitude, God can speak to us. Because here's the reality. As you walk into this place or you came in here this morning, there are so many voices trying to get your attention. It takes us a while. That's why I'm all for getting a little bit earlier to church. Not because of this and that reason. It's just to help you to silence every other voice. So that you don't use 20 minutes of the 30 minutes that we worship or the 25 minutes that we worship just to silence the voice. But when you come prepared, here's the thing. You can get a better deal. In actual fact, you get more of God. Because straight away you are present when he's present. Anyway, and God spoke to Moses and he tried his patience and his obedience. But here's the thing when we encounter God, and we spoke about before encountering God, but during encounter God, Isaiah 6 gives us some insight in that. And you can read that yourself at home. I'm not going to read that right now. But it's when Isaiah appears before God. And here's the thing. In the moment Isaiah sees God and he's in that presence, what does he say? Woe is me. Woe is me. You see, he sees God. He experiences God. And then he realizes, man, this is God. He's just too much for me. And I'm this little one. See, two things happen when we get into the real encounters with God. I'm saying the real encounters because I believe sometimes, I don't want to say we fake that, but sometimes we have too many encounters that I question the authenticity of that. And God said here and God said there, and I'm just, yo man, just calm me down sometimes with the charismatic. God said this and God said this, and you know what? You just go back there. Last week you said God said, but he didn't. This didn't happen. So maybe either God lied or you lied. Just tell me which one. And it's not God. But anyway, when we get into the presence of God, Isaiah was just so overwhelmed by God's greatness. You know, and I love what Sia said once. You know, there's these angels that's flying around God, and they just say, "Holy, holy, holy." And you think about that. When we're in eternity one day, all you hear is "Holy, holy." Why are they able to do that? I think because God is just so amazing, so big, so massive, so great, that every time they see something about God, "Holy, holy, holy." That's the kind of God we serve. That's far, and I want to challenge you this morning. I challenge myself. I think we make God too small. We don't realize the kind of God we serve. But at the same time, as you see him, you realize, woe is me. Every authentic God encounter must maximize Jesus or God and minimize me. The Apostle John said, he must become more and I must become less. The Apostle Paul grew from the least of all the apostles to a place just before he died where he said, I'm the chief of all sinners. I've discovered the longer I walk with God, the more I become aware of my brokenness, of my need for him, and the more I become aware of how much grace I need in my ministry, in this church, in wherever. If that doesn't happen with us, then just check your steps again, whether you have authentic encounters with God. But every encounter is supposed to do that with us. See, every time we get into the presence of God, we need to realize God is here with us. And what he says is sacred. His word is precious. What we do is so important right now. See, because if we become familiar, especially in our circles where we move, it breeds a kind of insensitivity towards God. I know, it's just another meeting. Oh, you know, and God said this. But we become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And eventually, familiarity breeds or nullifies the power of God in our life. Bought this T-shirt, been to this conference, done all of that. Oh, I heard this. You know, the other day we had the, I'm sad to say that, but I have to say that. You know, Andre Krier was here. We advertised the SOS weekend. And then we have this one person calling the church office and say, who's coming to present this course? Oh, it's only him. Okay, no, I'm not coming. My God, are we coming here for people? We're missing the point. Oh no, I'm not coming. Somebody of Alpha said the other day, no, we're not coming because I've seen that before. I know this, all of this stuff about gifts of the Spirit. I'm like, God, help us that we never get to that place. That we're not hungry anymore. That we take your presence as something as common. You know, we look at the person, and oh, no, I don't receive from that person or another chauffeur person or wherever it might be. It's irrelevant this morning. God said in His Word, Luke 13:35. You can read it yourself. You shall not see me until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That means that God can speak to me right now through this person here. It can be this person either. Doesn't matter. On my radar out there, God, you're trying to say something to me. You're trying to get my attention. Maybe through that little boy there. Doesn't matter. That's irrelevant this morning. My radar must be turned in to God. Where's your voice? You're trying to speak to me. And the moment I hear your voice, God, I'm trembling at that place. See, every time the people of Israel, and here's where people miss the thing. They go back to all these feasts, adhering to all these kinds of feasts, because they want to be more spiritual. When they fall back into this trap of, I want to say, Israelites. They're doing all this stuff, you know, because they want to be more holy, more acceptable. And that was never the point when God gave them the feasts. It's not so that you become more holy. It's only because we forget. That's the reason. We forget too easily. You know, God had to tell them, listen, you'll forget where you come from. So every now and then, you do this feast, you do it this way, it's symbolically and prophetically speaking and reminding the next generation of how I came through for you. It's not about becoming more holy. We just tend to forget about stuff, you know. A weekend like that weekend we had a couple of weeks ago when God just came and His Spirit and His presence is here and people got healed. It's not another weekend where we just thought, let's carry on to the next one. Okay, God, what's next on the menu? No, it's a moment to stop the bus and just say to one another, hey, man, God is here with us. Look at what God did. Susanna was just touched. Susanna was healed, and so we can carry on. Marlies was healed, and so we can carry on and on and on. And talk about that. Put the memorial stone down and just remember that for always. Because if we become familiar with God's presence, eventually just become another meeting. And then we stand in that place where it's so dangerous, where it becomes powerless. We have meeting upon meeting, but nothing happens. And the last one I want to share with you, let's quickly look at two scriptures. Moses is in Moses on the mountain, 40 days, 40 nights. Okay, somebody told me after the first service, he's only got 40 days to work this year left. So, hey, I don't know about you. 40 days, they do it at school as well. But the 40 days and 40 nights, imagine Moses is on a massive honeymoon with God. 40 days on the mountain. Better than any honeymoon, better than any vacation you can have. Now he's in the presence of God for 40 days. Imagine, that's no wonder that Moses came down there shining, beaming from the glory and being in the presence of God. I mean, I haven't been in that intensity in the presence of God. But I can testify this morning of, you know, just a weekend away with other people and believers in a few moments with God. Now you've got 40 days with God, 40 days and 40 nights. And you're just so spiritual and so high, I almost want to say, on a drug. And then you come down, and then the next thing that happens after this, I told you, I remind this story a little bit back. Moses told them, just do everything the Lord tells you. Yes, 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 we will do that. And he comes down the mountain. What did they do? Built a golden calf. You would think, don't you know that's wrong? Anyway, I probably would have lost my temper. Thank God there's a Moses. Look at this prayer he prayed. And now, listen to this. This is after he encountered God. We spoke about before, during. So there's something that's supposed to happen here in our encounter with God that would change our prayers. Can we get that scripture up there? If it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more. Here's the thing. There's two things that happened here in his prayer life. He became more aware of his own brokenness and his need for God. Exodus 33. In actual way, his hunger increased. You know, he's been in God's presence for 40 days and he prays this prayer afterwards. God, I want to see more. There must be more than what I see. Look favorably upon me. Next one. Let's go up to the next one. And I want to say something about that. Now, he sees the people, and then Moses prays this way. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. O Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people, whom you brought from the land of Egypt, with such great power and such a strong hand? Can I summarize that for you? If my encounters doesn't draw me closer to God, in knowing him, in wanting to know him more, maybe it's worth checking that encounter. If my encounters doesn't change my prayers or how I look at God's people, maybe it's worth checking your encounter with God. Because every true, authentic encounter should draw me closer to God and draw me closer to his people or give me a bigger heart for his people. It's not something that we just preach or somebody needs to tell you that. But when we get closer to God, you hear his heartbeat. There's something contagious that's happening there and that inside. A part of God that's just rubbing off on us. See, there's a story about Jonah. And again, you can read that for yourself. But God calls Jonah and he says, Jonah, can you please go and speak to the people of Nineveh? And Jonah says, no, Lord, wrong address. I'm running away. I don't like those people. They're bad people, blah, 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 blah. And you know the story about the fish got swallowed into the fish are being sent, which is a form of God's grace, I believe, to many of us when God sends the fish, you know. But anyway, 3 days, not an honeymoon in the fish stomach. And then he gets out of that place, and then he crawls out there on the land, and then God gives him a plant that he can lie down there under the plant. And the next thing, the plant dies, and Jonah complains about the plant. Oh God, the plant died. Why did you? Every time we are more concerned about the plants than about the people, our priorities are wrong. It's so easy to complain about the plants rather than talking to God about the people or his people. And we can carry on and on and on. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3 verse 10, oh, that I may know him. After he's been walking with God, oh, that I may know him. And my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures that Paul quotes, or that he says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, that says, and I've preached upon this, for the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels me to stand here one more time. The love of Christ compels me to get out of here and talk about him one more time. The love of Christ takes me home and forces me in a way, compels me to minister to my family. You know, we can carry on and on and on. You know, our children are different ages. But I came to the realization, and my kids are still there, but then I realized time is running out. And so for each and every one of us, the love of Christ compels us. I want us to close our eyes where we are this morning. Just for a moment, just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Three areas I want us to meditate on. We're not going to pray for that. I believe it's something that you have to decide for yourself. Maybe you can share with a friend afterwards if you want to stand in accountability with a person to help you. But I don't think it's something I can just impart. It's a decision that you have to make this morning. And then if you struggle, you have to ask somebody to walk with you and pray with you to keep you accountable. But I can't do something magical or supernatural just to give you hunger. You need to cry out to God for that hunger. Maybe you've heard God calling you to grow deeper or to swim deeper, to climb up higher, but his invitation and your action doesn't meet up. And I want you just where you are, just to sit and meditate upon that for a moment. And I want to encourage you, God's invitation is still valid. And maybe you just need to take one small step this week. I encouraged the people in the first service, I said, you know what? Just for 10 minutes, just give God an extra 10 minutes this week. Just get up at 10 minutes earlier. I don't know when you do your time and how you do that, but just give him that 10 minutes. Just challenge God and just enjoy his presence as he's inviting you. Just enjoy him. Not to come and do something, just to be in his presence. Say, Lord, thank you that I don't have to say anything right now, but that I can just be with you. You know, I don't know about you, but I just enjoy that sometimes. Just to be there with him. I don't have to say anything, but just his presence heals me and quiets every storm inside of me. It doesn't necessarily change or take the storm away, but it gives me the courage to continue walking. And then there's some of us this morning, you experience God, but what God wants to give to you is much more. I almost see it like a broken mirror, and you see a part of God, but God says, exchange that broken mirror so that I can give you a bigger mirror of myself, so that you can see more of God. And that you've become content with a little bit that you see. And God is saying, I want to show myself to you strong. I want to show myself to you as the provider, maybe the healer, maybe in other areas of your life that God wants to reveal himself. Exchange that broken mirror that you're holding for something bigger that God wants to give you. And there's some of us, we've been in that moments where we've experienced God. You literally had that authentic encounter with God, but your actions, our obedience, doesn't match up with it. You know exactly what God has been asking you to do. And all you need to do is to follow that through. But I pray this morning that God's grace will come upon you to enable you to do that. It's not about the law, it's about just pleasing him, making him happy. So Father, we thank you for each and everyone. Let's stand wherever we are. I thank you for a fresh portion of your grace, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that right now, Lord, you bestow that upon each and everyone that cry out and say, Lord Jesus, I want to grow deeper. I want to be with you. I want to grow to that place, Lord, where there's more, Lord. Father, I pray that you will stir the level of hunger in this congregation, Lord, in this town, Father, where we've become content with little, Lord. I pray, Lord, that that will not be the case anymore. I pray that our spiritual appetite will change, Lord Jesus, that we will realize there must be more that you want to give us, Lord. There must be more that you want to reveal unto us, Lord. And Father, that we will not stop at the level where we are currently, but Lord, that we will push through, Lord. And Father, we will not fall in a legalistic trap, but we responding to the invitation of your Spirit, Father, that we're not moving from a place of the flesh to please man, Lord, or leadership, or any person or church this morning, but Father, that we move from a place of an invitation in the Spirit and responding to the highest call to come deeper, to come higher. Father, I thank you for everyone that can hear that voice right now, your voice calling them. I thank you, Lord, for those that know this morning, Lord, but maybe struggle this morning to do. I pray for your grace upon that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's end with a song as we commit ourselves to the Lord, our spiritual appetite, whatever it might be, as we conclude this service. Thank you, Jesus.